Welcome to The Grill Room. On the menu this week, all the latest news, views, and opinions from the world of professional golf. Your maitre d's are Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli, two friends who rarely agree on anything. You can count on them to give you both sides of the story, whether you want it or not. So come on in, have a seat, and remember, anything that comes from the grill room is definitely on our tab. And remember, keep your applause to a mild clap, all right? After all, we're talking golf here.
Well, guess what this week's show is all about? You're right on the money. It's the players. Hi, I'm Bob Bubka, here with Alex Maselli. And Alex, certainly seems like Jason Day is on some kind of mission.
Well, I don't know about a mission, Bob, but he certainly seems to know when he tees it up on Thursday that it's all about winning the golf tournament, which, you know, I think everybody kind of understands that, but, you know, getting it done is a whole different kettle of fish. And Jason Day's case, giving, I think, some credit at least to Tiger Woods, because Jason had a propensity of not getting it done on a Sunday, even when he had the lead going into the final day. Now, all of a sudden, when he's got the lead, he's unstoppable. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that those conversations that he's had with Tiger Woods over the past, I think there's a direct correlation or parallel to those conversations and when they started and when Jason Day started basically being the best player in the world.
You know what impressed me, Alex, when he got his first victory on tour, it was at the AT&T Byron Nelson Championship, and the candor in which he talked about that victory, simply stating that when he left Australia, everybody around him was telling him what a great player he is. He's going to be unstoppable. He's going to be this. He's going to be that. And Jason Day said, you know what? I believed it. And when I got to the States, I didn't practice as hard as I should have. I didn't devote the time in the gymnasium that I should have. And I effort for it. He said, but I've learned my lesson. And now he certainly has moved into the capacity of number one in the world. And the funny thing about Jason, when I look at him, Alex, is like he relishes being number one. He wants to stay at number one. And he's, you know, very straightforward in his comments about being the number one player in the world.
Well, I mean, obviously, again, going back to his discussions with Tiger, you know, Tiger's the only one that's had that longevity at being world number one. I'm sure Tiger relished being world number one. It was never even a question for years and years, actually, which was quite interesting. You know, let's take a couple players, then you parallel them right now against Jason Day. One of them is Danny Willett. Danny Willett wins the Masters. Danny Willett takes 5 weeks off. Danny Willett isn't focused on golf. Danny Willett now comes back to the Players, misses the cut, didn't expect to play that well. You know, when Tiger Woods would be in those scenarios, when he would come back the next week after a win at the Masters, he would be coming back to win. He wouldn't be coming back just to kind of, you know, still in the glory of what had happened 2 or 3 weeks ago. You take Jordan Spieth now, and Jordan is working as hard as he can, but again, you know, if you go all the way back to when we were in Hawaii with Jordan at the Hyundai Tournament of Champions, Jordan Spieth probably was playing his best golf of the season, meaning of what would have been the 2015-2016 wraparound season, and probably the best golf he's played already this year. And, you know, I think that win, which was a pretty big win at the time, and the way he had that win, I think in some ways Jordan Spieth thought about maybe he didn't have to work as hard as he had worked in the past. And it's easily said that can happen. What's so hard is to go ahead and continue to keep winning after you've won your first time or your second time in a row or the second time after three events, whatever it is. And there's very few players that really know how to get that done. And Jason Day has now shown that he's one of those players.
Well, you're right on the money there, Alex. And Jason Day tells us, in reality, it's all about the hard work.
The hard work that I put into my game coming into this week and especially the year, coming off two wins early this year and feeling good about my game, knowing that, you know, I just had to get in there and try and want it more than anyone else. And I said 14 under was the average score, and I ended up beating it by just one, which was nice. And, you know, I'm just very pleased to be the Players' Champion.
Jason Day said there's no shortcuts out on the PGA Tour. Everybody has talent, or they wouldn't be out here. It really is a matter of how hard you want to work. And let's take a look, Alex, at some of the stats concerning this victory. Day is, what, the fourth Aussie to win the Players? Guys like Norman, Elkington, Scott, and now Day, third player to win, who was ranked number one at the time, you know, in very exclusive company there, Greg Norman and Tiger Woods and Jason Day. And there were some others that kind of stats that really stand out.
Well, you know, Bob, I mean, the fact that he's won wire to wire as many times as he has now, I think it's five. You know, that's significant, because you know how many times guys will go into the first round of a golf tournament and just trying to get their feet wet. It doesn't matter who they are. But the seven wins in the last 17 starts, and even the wins where places where he hasn't won, it's been he's played well. I mean, those are things that are very, very hard to accomplish. And again, we get back to you get into that rarefied air. There's only a couple players that we could even talk about that have had those streaks probably since we've been covering golf. Tiger, one of them. You take a look at Rory McIlroy, another, Jordan Spieth to some extent. You know, there's not very many guys that can get it done like this. And to get it done, I think, in an oppressive manner where they control the situation all throughout, which is very difficult.
10 wins in 181 starts, is impressive. But that last number you mentioned, seventh win in the last 17 starts, that's just an incredible pace of getting into the winner's circle.
Well, it's not only that. It's you have to look at the events themselves, the realization that he's playing so well, not just in normal tour events, but playing well in big events, World Golf Championships, the FedEx Cup playoffs, the majors. I mean, those are what you really look at. You just can't look at the fact that it's those numbers. You have to look at the events themselves, which means those events are events where the best players are playing. So again, you're you're not only winning tournaments, but you're winning it against the best players in the world, which is what Jason Day is doing over this stretch.
Well, he's got 10 wins now, but that's not enough for Jason Day.
It's just 10. I want more than 10, and I have the opportunity to do that right now. And try and work as hard as I can to really leave my footprint, you know, in this game that has given me so much. So, you know, I'm motivated to be number one. I'm motivated to extend that lead, but I'm very motivated to win as much as I can right now.
So the hard part now, Alex, is for Jason Day to stay motivated. And quite simply, he tells us he wants to win more.
This is great to be the Players' Champion, but you know, once the tonight is done and tomorrow starts, it's another week that I have to get ready and prepare for the next tournament that's coming up, because it's never enough. Winning is never enough, and I've got to try and do it as much as I can before my time's over.
All right, let's talk about the golf course, Alex. And certainly, Mark Russell and the entire PGA Tour staff literally came out on Sunday morning and said they basically lost the golf course on Saturday. It's always that fine line between trying to make it extremely difficult, but also keeping it very fair. And that's not an easy line to keep on.
Well, it may not be an easy line, Bob, but I mean, if you're going to put the best players in the world on an event, and you talk about how important this event is to your tour, you need to use caution when doing what you're suggesting, which is trying to make the golf course as difficult as possible but fair. They didn't use caution. The first 2 days, people can say, well, the first 2 days was all that scoring. They were very upset. And that's we always say that. It could be a U.S. Open. It could be any kind of event where you think, okay, well, the people that are putting that event on are upset by the fact that these great players scored so well on this golf course. We have to change that. Well, that may be or may not be the case. You never know for sure. But what I do know is this. the Players' Championship has been played on the same venue basically for its entire history. To say that the conditions got away from us in regards to weather, we didn't realize. Well, right there, you have to stop. You can't not realize. You are there 365 days a year. The same superintendent that was there for this week at the Players is the same superintendent that's there during the entire year. So for 365 days of the year, you know exactly what the conditions are and how the golf course reacts. If you don't know that, then you shouldn't be the superintendent, and you sure as heck should not be setting up the golf course. The fact that they decided that it was made a lot of sense to double roll it and double cut it, and then the course got out of hand, that's ridiculous. Where they were, why they didn't put water on it, I don't know. Because even at Shinnecock, when it got out of hand that Sunday, they were syringing that seventh green knowing that they had a problem. I just can't, as much as I admire what the tour does on a week-to-week basis, I think that this was a shocking display of ineptitude on Saturday, and something that should really be looked at more seriously than just suggesting that they made a mistake.
Well, an important factor, and I don't know how much it plays into it. You might even have some insight for our listeners, Alex. But, you know, starting today, as a matter of fact, they're digging up all 18 greens. They're going to replace it with a new type of surface, turf, Tiff Eagle, which supposedly is easier to maintain at the desired speed. So pretty remarkable that they lose it on Saturday and 3 days later, which had been planned for a long time, to replace all 18 greens.
Hello, Bob. What I know is the following. For three of the four rounds, they dealt with the golf course, I think, in a fair way. It was the third round that they didn't. And I always go back when I see an issue with setup and how the course golf course plays, and if it plays unfairly, I go back to the year we went to Muirfield when Ernie Els won, which I think was 04. I think is that long ago. The first 2 days on that golf course, players complained and moaned about how slow the greens were. They didn't want slow greens. They didn't understand why the RNA kept the greens so slow. The third day, a storm came in, which was a tremendous storm. I mean, Tiger Woods shot 80 at Muirfield in the third round. It was an unbelievable storm. But they never had to stop play because balls moving on the green. Because the RNA was consistent in exactly how the golf course was set up every day. They never changed how that golf course was going to be set up because they were aware of what could happen on Saturday way back before they set it up on Thursday. They always err on the side of caution. On Sunday, you didn't hear one player complain about how slow the greens were. My point is that you have to use a lot more common sense going out and looking and suggesting that, you know what, it doesn't matter what the players say. It doesn't matter if the golf course is a little slow. It doesn't matter if we're going to have slow greens. We're going to be consistent on how we set the golf course up. There was no consistency on how the golf course was set up at the Players' Championship, and it embarrassed the best players in the world at the biggest event on the PGA Tour.
Let's give a listen to what Jason Day had to say about that green speed in round three.
The green speeds kind of took me by surprise. You know, it was just such a drastic change from Thursday to Friday to now. I mean, this afternoon it was just, you know, the front nine was a bit borderline, in my honest opinion. But I think a lot of the players probably think that as well. I think Faraday said it was 71, the scoring average yesterday or whatever it was, and 76 today or something like that, which is just unbelievable. You know, to have two doubles on the front side and then play some nice golf on the backside to really kind of keep that distance between me and the rest of the guys was nice. But really hoping they slow the greens down more.
I don't know why. Mark Russell could say what he wants. And then he says something completely different on the Golf Channel on Sunday, which is ridiculous. He finally admitted that that he was sick to his stomach about it. Well, that's all great. But, you know, someone needs to look into this. You can't just sit there and say, oh, we made a mistake. Well, we'll learn from it going forward.
Well, at least final day on Sunday seemed to be a good mix between the two fast and you know, impossible. And, you know, bottom line is they're very lucky They did lose the golf course for a period of time during the playing of the competition, Alex. But the number one player in the world comes out on top, so certainly was a good examination.
Well, you know, I never agree with that theory, Bob. I mean, the best player in the world, if you're going by the numbers every time, that means he'd win every time he tees it up. So I don't go by that. What I do go by is that Jason Day found a way to deal with the adversity on Saturday, as everyone else tried to, but were generally not as successful as he was. And I think this is the point where you really throw a shout out to somebody that didn't get as much due as he deserved, which was Ken Duke, for shooting a score on a golf course that was completely not ready for it, shooting a 65 on a golf course that no one could even imagine practically breaking 70 on. I don't know how you look at scores and how you look at tournaments and look how you look at rounds, but there may not have been a better round on the PGA Tour in the last 20 years than that 65 that Ken Duke shot on that golf course on Saturday.
And he's 47 years old and one of the nicest guys out there. I agree with you, Alex. That was probably the round of the event. One last thing with Day before we move on, Alex. Let's listen to Jason Day talk exactly about what you referenced earlier in the show, the help he's getting from Tiger.
To be able to talk to him and really have him text me and say, you know, you need to, you know, stay in your world and just focus on just getting it done and don't think about anything else other than just hitting the shot. And all 18 holes are important, not just 16, 17, and 18. It's a pretty good piece of advice, especially coming from a guy that has dominated the game for a very long time. So that everything that I do about my game, you know, off course, and then for him to have for us to have the friendship and to be able to be open about you know, talking and him taking me under his wing a little bit with regards to trying to finish tournaments and you know what he's done in the past. I mean, that's stuff you just can't, you know, you can't really experience other than just getting there and doing it. And yeah, I mean, it's been an amazing, you know, kind of journey for me to be able to idolize him as a junior guy growing up, and now I'm good mates with him, and I get to pick his brain about what he did when he was dominating.
The Grill Room is proud to be entertaining the active men and women in the military, both at home and around the world, as part of the Armed Forces Radio Network.
Golfin, the innovative award-winning clubs of choice for parents eager to see their kids fall in love with golf. These amazing clubs are scientifically proven to help kids progress from beginners to winners. Easy to swing, easy to hit, and easy to get the ball in the air. Golfin clubs are a must for all young golfers. Visit golfin.com. That's golphin.com to find out more and how to order your kids the gift of golf right now.
You're listening to The Grow Room, powered by GolfWeek.com, brought to you in part by the Golf Course Superintendents Association. The Grow Room is heard on TuneIn Radio, the Armed Forces Radio Network, and, of course, TalkSport 2, part of the world's largest sports radio station. When we come back, we'll take a look at Spieth, Fowler, and others, and what happened to them, big names that didn't make the cut.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to the Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. 2015 PGA champion Jason Day agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere. By the way, we'd like everyone to know that the official hotel partner of the Grill Room is the Courtyard Mayo Clinic Jacksonville Beach's location. And believe me, they have it all. Convenient to the golf courses in the area, including TPC Sawgrass. Very close to the Mayo Clinic, as well as to a wide variety of local attractions, local businesses, and of course the beaches. Their staff, they go out of their way to make your stay at the Courtyard Mayo Clinic, Jacksonville Beach's location, feel like you're home away from home. Call 904-223-1700 or simply go online to make your reservation today.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
You're listening to the Grill Room, and we really appreciate that. Hi, I'm Bob. He's Alex. And as we went to break, we mentioned the fact that some notables, Alex, that didn't make the cut, and they really were expected to.
I mean, obviously, when you get players that are at this caliber, and we mentioned earlier, the Jordan Spieths, the Ricky Fowlers, the Patrick Reeds, you're expecting that they're going to make the cut. It doesn't matter what the field is. It doesn't matter what the tournament is. They're so good that you expect that. And, you know, for Jordan Spieth to miss the cut at Players, I expect him to be there. Does it bother me that he missed the cut at the Players Championship? No, because I think that golf course is a specific golf course for a specific player. And even Tiger, who's won there in the past, doesn't really like that golf course. So it doesn't shock me that Jordan missed the cut there. I think what we have to see now is what happens with Jordan over the next 3 or 4 weeks. He's got a big stretch here with the AT&T Byron Nelson, then going to Colonial, and then Muirfield Village in Jack's Tournament Memorial. That's when you're going to get an understanding of where Jordan Spieth is in his game.
From your perspective, the Masters meltdown a factor at all at the Players or not?
No, I don't think it's a factor. I think when the Masters meltdown could become a factor is when Jordan is back in the hunt. You know, maybe something will trigger. I doubt it, quite honestly. But I think that what happened at the Masters has nothing to do with what happened at the Players' Championship.
Ricky Fowler was pretty candid. He told us that, defending the title certainly is a big step. He came up woefully short, not even playing on the weekend. And Patrick Reed didn't seem to be playing as well this year as he was last year so far.
You know, he's really up and down with his game, Patrick Reed, talking to his coach. They've worked out some things here and there. But he's still struggling. He actually was messing around with even changing putters at times, different lengths of his putter shaft. I mean, a lot of things you shouldn't be doing when you're as good as Patrick Reed is. And Ricky Fowler is, I mean, I think I have to say, even though he's won this year overseas, he's been disappointing in many ways. One thing we talked about when Tiger comes back, and we will, I'm sure, mention that at some point, when Tiger does finally get back on the PGA Tour, he's going to be competing against a lot of guys that he hasn't even seen before, may not even know their names. Ricky Fowler, Jordan Spieth, Patrick Reed are experiencing that as well, even though all of them are pretty young. You know, the other part of the young, Bob, is somebody like Justin Thomas, who won last year in Malaysia, but really has kind of not put it all together. Final round, T5, T3 at the Players. I think you're starting to see even Justin Thomas getting a better feel for what it's like in big events.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I had an opportunity to watch him on the range last week, and boy, he hits it a country mile, and he hits it straight. He's going to be a force to be reckoned with.
You know, and we go maybe a little older, but still a young guy, Rory McIlroy. There's an example of, you wouldn't think that you would go a year seeing Rory McIlroy being healthy, not being able to win a golf tournament. That's where we are right now, and it's not only is it perplexing for us as journalists, but I know it's got to be perplexing for Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering if that going left-hand low that he committed to at Doral down in Miami is his undoing. I'm watching him miss a lot of putts. that he never used to miss. What about Retief Goosen, though? Tied for 13th. Where has he been?
Well, you know, back surgery, getting older, but yet he's always good on those kind of golf courses, as we talked about. A lot of people that came off the golf course on Saturday talked about how it reminded them of Shinnecock on that Sunday. But the guy I think that is not getting his due and will start getting it now, I'm pretty sure, is Kevin Chappell, who with the second place finishes. And, you know, here's the thing. He has gotten so close so often this year with a second at the RSM Classic, a second at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, and now a second at the Players' Championship. But he's also gotten himself in contention at other places like Valero and Heritage. I mean, Kevin Chappell is a really good player, and he's showing it. Now the question is when is he finally going to break through? But I don't think it's that far away.
I couldn't agree with you more, Alex. He seems to have a wealth of talent. He's probably hoping that he'll get in an event without Jason Day. He seems to be finishing second to Jason Day way too often. Well, what's up next on the PGA Tour calendar? That's this week's AT&T Byron Nelson Championship. Stephen Bowditch, defending champ. Of course, Jordan Spieth is going to be the headliner. But they do have seven of the top 25 in the field. Good players here. Zach Johnson, Dustin Johnson, Louis Oosthuizen, Sergio, Brant Snedeker, Brooks Koepka. I think AT&T should be proud of the field they have.
Well, you know, they're also going up against a pretty good event in the UK, rather in overseas as well, in the European Tour. And that makes it difficult. I mean, because now you're starting to split players out. So the fact that they have this kind of field along with Ernie Els and Vijay Singh and Angel Cabrera, who is also playing, starting to play better and better, getting ready for going back to Oakmont where he won the U.S. Open, I think it is a pretty good field. And then you didn't mention Bryson DeChambeau, who, after playing so well at Heritage and the Masters, has really struggled and his starts on the PGA Tour. And clearly it's a learning experience, but I think he needs to now focus, because he's going to have three events in a row, this one, Colonial, and Memorial. And he's going to have to show up at those events, because eventually he's going to run out of starts. So it's important for him to go ahead and figure a way to get it done, like he did, actually, at the beginning of his professional career.
Well, he's going to be one of the Texas favorites here at the AT&T Byron Nelson. And Bryson DeChambeau, he could move that needle if he's in contention on the weekend, especially if he happens to be battling Jordan Spieth coming down the stretch. That would be an ideal scenario. You mentioned the name Ernie Els, Alex. Certainly seems to be playing better. We all witnessed what transpired at the first hole at the Masters on Thursday, six putts from inside of 3 feet. But he seems to have put that behind him and playing rather nicely at the moment.
Well, I mean, I think, look, Ernie's been around long enough. He knows what the problems are playing on the PGA Tour and playing professional golf. He knows he's not as good a putter as he was back in the day. That being said, when we walked into Royal Lithium a couple years ago and Ernie Els had won one Open Championship, you weren't assuming he was going to win the other. You weren't even assuming on that Sunday he was going to win. But Ernie Els found a way to get it done, and I think that's the possibility of Ernie Els every time you tease it up. He's not going to be the guy that you're going to think is going to win the golf tournament, but he's good enough still to win golf tournaments if he can, in fact, get the putter rolling. So, Bob, you know, that all being said about Ernie and Bryson DeChambeau, really the question is going to be Jordan Spieth. Your thoughts on, in fact, if Jordan does get it done or at least shows up this week at AT&T?
Well, that's a great question, and you know, if you analyze some of the comments that I made, I mean, Jordan Spieth certainly got the job done last year and did it in excellent fashion. But for me, there seemed to be too many 20, 25-foot putts that found the bottom of the cup. Now, the question remained, does he have that talent to continue to do that? Or will it level out? And it certainly seems like his putting has leveled out. Forget making the 20, 25-footers. He's missing a lot of putts inside of 10 feet, which last year everybody simply said, well, it's his mind. That's why he can make those putts. But it's not your mind. It's your putting stroke. And I think that's what's really bothering Jordan Spieth at the moment.
Well, you know, the only thing I will say is this. I don't think anything has changed from 2015 to 2016 in regards to who Jordan Spieth is. I think that, you know, there's expectations on the outside from us and from fans on who Jordan Spieth is and who he should be going forward. And so you have to deal with those expectations, and at the same time, you have to deal with the pressures of being who you are. In this case, Jordan Spieth, either world number one, winning the FedEx title, winning two majors in a row. All those are pressures. And I don't think he dealt with it as well at the beginning of the season as he would have liked to, meaning, A, what happened in Hawaii, where he played so well, thinking that probably that just showed that how much better he was than everybody else. And then, B, doing a lot of traveling all over the world, you know, taking advantage of the fact that he was who he was. And obviously it's a financial benefit as well for him. That being said, now I think Jordan Spieth has got a pretty good understanding of what's going on and what he needs to do. And I think over the next 3 weeks, you're going to see a much different Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth that's going to be more confident in what he's doing. He'll be more comfortable in his game and what he's doing with his swing, be it a full swing or a putting stroke. And I think you'll see Jordan Spieth get to Oakmont as one of the guys that definitely has a pretty good chance of winning a U.S. Open. So I feel good about that. I think if it doesn't happen that way, Bob, I think you'd have to start really questioning what exactly he has been doing and what he's doing wrong. But I don't think there's anything that he's doing wrong currently. I think it's just going to take a little time to get over some of the things that have happened and some of the things that he's experienced over the last 3 or 4 months.
Well, I certainly hope that his game comes around. He's good for the game. He's an outstanding role model, just the ambassador we need for this sport of golf. And Jordan Spieth's not a quitter. We know that. And whatever hard work he has to put in, I'm sure that he will be doing it. It's just that, you know, when it's going your way, it's a lot easier to keep it going that way. And when it's not going your way, it's very difficult to turn it around. But we wish the very best to Jordan Spieth. He can get off to a good start this week right here at the AT&T Byron Nelson Championship, a title I'm sure he would love to win.
Well, one last thing before we go, Bob, to your interview with David Ledbetter is the fact that Tiger Woods had his media day on Monday for the Quicken Loans and hit some shots, some of them good, some of them not. But it was more interesting in the press conference afterwards, where it's pretty clear now that Tiger Woods is not ready yet to come out on the PGA Tour. Would you glean the same thing from that press conference?
I did, actually. I had less confidence on his immediate return after listening to him. He, you know, obviously everything's always a big secret, and he's not going to say one way or the other where he's planning on coming back or trying to come back. We'll just have to wait and see. Tiger, you know, it's not going to do Tiger Woods any good to come back and play in a PGA Tour event if he's not ready to compete. I mean, for him to come out and maybe miss the cut or finish tie 50th, that's what Tiger Woods is not all about, and I don't think he needs any more of that. He's got to be ready when he comes back out. If he's ready, we get another shot in the arm. But, you know, he's got the stiff competition, like you alluded to. You know, he's got the Jason Days, the Rory McIlroys, the Ricky Fowlers, the Jordan Spieth. I mean, Patrick Reed. I mean, the names go on and on of young, talented players that Tiger really never had to deal with in his heyday.
Well, the question is now, Bob, for me, is if he doesn't show up at Memorial, which is where I thought he would probably show up at, then I think you have to make the assumption that he would not show up at the U.S. Open. And do you think that's a fair assessment?
Yeah, I felt like you did, Alex. I thought he was going to return at Memorial in large part to the fact that he loves the golf course. It would be a nice thing for Jack Nicklaus, the host, to have Tiger in the field. And it would be good preparation for Oakmont coming up a few weeks down the road after Muirfield. But that doesn't look to be the case. I would be really surprised if he doesn't play prior to the U.S. Open that he puts a peg in the ground at the first tee at Oakmont. That's an awfully, awfully difficult golf course, maybe as tough a golf course as there is in the United States, especially under open conditions. Not an ideal place to make a return.
I agree with you, and it's not often I agree with you. All right, when we return from break, we'll hear from one of the best teachers in the game, David Ledbetter. Bob caught up with David last week at the Players.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to The Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. The 2015 Masters champion, the U.S. Open champion, and the FedEx Cup champion, Jordan Spieth, agrees.
If you love golf like I do, you'll thank your golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at HealthySightForLife.org.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Well, I always get excited when I see the straw hat because I know underneath it is going to be an old friend, David Ledbetter. David, general observations of the tremendous amount of young talent that's now on the PGA Tour.
It's incredible, really, Bobby. Just look down the line here. I mean, you know, these guys are working so hard. They've got their coaches with them. It's so different from when I started out too. You know, I mean, I worked with about 15 players maybe, and now, you know, every player has a coach and their workout guy and their sports psychologist. I mean, the game's changed. Obviously, there's so much money in the game, and you can probably put a lot of that down to Tiger, certainly. I mean, they should be thanking Tiger every day for all the prize money they're playing for. But, no, it's amazing. I mean, they're great young athletes. We're getting different people in the sport now that you might not have got, say, 15 years ago, turning to golf. And let's face it, they're getting better, younger and younger. I was just talking about with Kevin Na this morning about, you know, how these players will probably have shorter careers. You know, they seem to be in their teens, they're starting to really play great golf. And so in all likelihood, you're probably going to see shorter careers rather than in the past. I mean, there's so much money in the game now. When they've reached about 35, you know, they probably think, well, hey, do we need to keep playing? Unless they still have a passion for it. But no, it is. It's amazing. It's just, you know, the game's advanced. And you know, with all the great equipment they've got out here to choose from and all the technology now we have available to us and with talent that we have, I mean, you're just going to see some great players. And I don't think you're going to see any player that's going to dominate the tour like Tiger did, because I just think the depth is so tremendous.
You mentioned the name Tiger a couple of times. From your perspective, he's now 40 years old. It's obvious the talent that he did possess to play the game before all the injuries, before the long layoff. What do you see in the future for Tiger playing this game?
Well, I don't ever think we're going to see the old Tiger back. I mean, the old Tiger was just somebody so special. I mean, just look at his record. And, you know, it's going to be tough. I mean, you know, you get to 40 and maybe your nerves change a little bit. Your eyes change a little bit from the putting standpoint. I mean, obviously he's working hard. I'm sure he'd love to be out here with the boys. And, you know, you'd never say never with Tiger just because he's such a, you know, an incredible athlete and from a golfing standpoint just had the mind for the game. I mean, hopefully he'll be back out here. I spoke to his coach, Chris Comer, the other day. He said he's coming along slow but sure, but certainly he's not rushing it, which I think is a good thing. But when you have that number of surgeries, you know, your body changes, and you got to remember, I mean, he really hasn't, I mean, already played last year a little bit, but he's been away from the game, and every day that goes by, I mean, this talent is getting better and better out here, you know. So there's, I think the intimidation factor is not there any longer, certainly. I mean, a lot of these players out here, they didn't even play with Tiger. I mean, it's like, it's incredible. So, you know, but look, he's great for the game. I mean, you know, and you have to look online and just see, you know, when his name's mentioned, how many people are, you know, logging in to, you know, make comments, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, hopefully he'll be back out here and we see, at least see glimpses of his past performances, because that would be great.
Speaking of talent, I owe you a big thank you, because anytime I started to waver on Michelle Wee, David Ledbetter always assured me, you watch, this girl's going to do a great thing. She's now a former U.S. Women's Open champion. But you sensed that a long time ago.
Well, we know what talent she's had, and sometimes you can be cursed with talent. That's the truth. And she's only 26. I mean, which by today's standards is actually old. I mean, I think you're on the senior tour when you're 26 on the ladies' tour now. When you think of the average winner this year, I think has been about the age of 20. But I still have high hopes, Michelle. I still think that, I mean, look, she might not fulfill everybody's predictions of that she was going to just sweep everything. I don't think that'll happen, but I do think she's still got some great golf left in her, and if she can, like, keep getting on and stop tinkering with the golf swing and just, you know, stay injury free, maybe we'll see the best of Michelle in the next few years.
Last thing, David Ledbetter, and we certainly appreciate your time. I say that two words, Lydia Ko, what do you say?
Just, you know, she sort of defies logic, how good she is at such a young age. I mean, but yeah, the great thing about her, Bob, is that she's not just a great golfer, but she's a wonderful person. She really has, I mean, she's a unbelievable role model for young players. I mean, she's got everything from the talent to the work ethic to you name it. But I mean, sure, he does a lot of things behind the scenes too, and she's just a wonderful human being. And I mean, it's just amazing what she's done at her tender age, just turned 19. So I mean, she's got, she tells me she's going to retire at the age of 30, so we'll see. And but she's got 11 years, so what's that? And the ladies tour, 55 majors, 54 majors, maybe excluding the first one, she's won already. So, you know, maybe, hey, a good percentage of those. I mean, Annika's record might still go by the way, you know. So we'll see.
Well, we thank you for your time. I echo the sentiments about Lydia Ko. I've met her. I'm flabbergasted by her maturity at such a young age, and her talent speaks for itself. Your talent as a coach speaks for itself also. David Ledbetter, always good to see you.
Thanks, Bob. Always a pleasure.
All right, well, we want to thank David Ledbetter for his time. Obviously, it's a very busy week at the Players, dealing with the different players that all the instructors have to deal with. So I want to thank David for his time, especially having to deal with Bob Bupka for whatever it was, 5, 6, 7 minutes. That's a long time to deal with you, Bobby.
Well, I'll tell you what, I got a thank you text from David Ledbetter saying he enjoyed the interview. I certainly enjoyed it. Very knowledgeable and had some great things to say. David Ledbetter has been a good friend for a long time.
Well, that's it for this week. You've been listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn Radio, the Armed Forces Radio Network, and, of course, Talk Sport 2, powered by GolfWeek.com.
A big thank you to our partners, the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, also the Golfin, innovative clubs for all ages that take you from beginner to winner, and of course to GolfWeek.com. So for Janice Self, Alex Maselli, and myself, Bob Bupka, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. By the way, please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf and like us on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.